Hello guys, welcome back to the Jogbing podcast. Can you believe it is just 2 weeks before your exams start? The year 11 mocks are almost upon us. Exciting times. We are going to do a deep dive today on one particular area that I want to focus on, which is in resource management today, and that's going to be looking at factors affecting water availability. So what are the factors that affect water availability around the world? You might remember this when we taught it in lessons because there's quite a distinctive homework around it whereby you had to create a number of different playing cards, and each card effectively identified one of the six different factors affecting water availability, and then we used them in lesson. So the six factors are climate, geology, pollution of supply, over-abstraction, limited infrastructure, and poverty. You need to be able to write maybe a couple of sentences about each one, explaining how that factor can affect whether or not there is water or there isn't water. And I just want to go through each one and talk very briefly about the kind of things you can say and sort of explain each one in turn. All right, let's start with the physical factors, and they are climate and geology. So what I think is a really good strategy when you're revising this and you're doing your revision input and writing your notes is to consider particularly the key words you might be able to use to explain how these factors affect water availability, and link to any kind of case study or example around the world that we've studied in any of the topics. So let's take climate to begin with. So climate has a massive factor, or is a massive factor, I should say, affecting water availability. Put really simply, if your climate is hot and dry, there's going to be very little precipitation. There's going to be a lot of evaporation, and you're going to have an ecosystem or a biome that's quite arid and desert-like. If you live in that place, it's a climate that's not going to provide you with a huge amount of water. That's going to be a massive issue. The other kind of key words that I might be able to associate with this is I might be able to explain that climates, sort of desert climates, exist in the subtropical high pressure belt, which is a nice link to the atmospheric circulation model. Or I might even be able to link in here to climate change and how some areas of the world, which were kind of marginally dry, have become drier. A good example would be South Africa, that are currently going through a 5-year drought. Other little examples you could refer to here around a lack of water because of climate would be Australia, where most of the interior is one huge desert. And there, when we studied Australia in the lessons, it was all about the wine industry and how too much water has been taken out. But ultimately, Australia's climate doesn't provide a huge amount of water. You could link in Libya, of course, Libya being in the desert, the Saharan desert. You could also link in Rajasthan, which is on the edge of the Great Thar Desert between India and Pakistan. The other physical factor is geology. The examples here are quite similar. You'd be able to use Libya, you'd be able to use Rajasthan, both of which have sandstone aquifers beneath them. You could also link in maybe sort of wider knowledge. The one thing I'd suggest here maybe would be Bangladesh. Most of Bangladesh has kind of a clay geology, impermeable rock. So whilst Libya and Rajasthan do have a permeable aquifer beneath their feet, a place like Bangladesh doesn't. It's not like in Bangladesh people can drill down and water will come out of the ground. If they drill down into the ground, they're so close to sea level, actually all they get is salty saline water, which is of no use to them whatsoever. Whereas in Libya and Rajasthan, they've been able to tap into those aquifers that are permeable and have allowed water to percolate down into them and extract that. The other example would be London. London famously has a huge aquifer of chalk that sits deep below the London surface. And we've been tapping into that now for many hundreds of years. So they're the two physical factors affecting water availability. If you have the right climate and you have some good geology with permeable aquifers, then you'll have plenty of water. Alternatively, If you don't, then you're going to struggle with water insecurity. So the second type of factors are, unsurprisingly, human factors. Pollution of supply, over-abstraction of water, limited infrastructure and poverty. Now, in the podcast, I'm really going to focus on two, and then I'll let you have a look at the other two in a bit more detail. So I'm going to look at pollution of supply and over-abstraction. Again, using the principle that key words and little examples, evidence effectively, are going to be critical here to helping us explain how they affect water availability. Let's have a look at pollution of supply. The key words I would link into the pollution of supply would be industrial development, toxic, leaching, corruption, lack of regulation, poor government, and even eutrophication, which you might have come across in science and biology. So let's start with industrial development. And we can link that into our recent case study of Nigeria and some of the impacts that Shell have had there. Where you have industrial development, where you have the development of factories and manufacturing, a lot of those factories are and industries are going to pollute. They are going to produce a lot of waste products. And if that's in an LIC or NEE, one of the biggest problems is because of poor governance, because of corruption within government and a lack of regulation and checking of what factories are emitting, some waste, some liquid waste, is ultimately sent into the rivers and watercourses. And that is going to pollute those rivers with those toxins. That can include things as crazy as mercury, and very heavy metal compounds that can be incredibly bad for human health and ultimately be carcinogenous. I've seen this firsthand, having been to India, visited the River Ganges. It is like a toxic sludge, and you wouldn't believe that people are going into that river to bathe. Some people are even forced to drink that water, although very, very few do, because they know that the impact it will have on their health. If your watercourses are so heavily polluted, they are effectively unusable, and therefore you do not have water availability because you've effectively polluted your sources of water. You can link pollution of supply also to Mumbai in our case study of Dharavi. You could even potentially link it to fracking in the UK, which is another link to another part of resource management. You know, fracking in the UK, the breaking up of rock through small explosions and high pressure water under the ground, has recently been stopped in the UK. And one of the reasons for that is a fear of contaminating water supplies with natural gas. So that's pollution of supply. The other human factor I wanted to talk about is over-abstraction. A good example here would obviously be Libya in the Great Man-Made River. One of the issues with over-abstraction is mainly down to overpopulation. The world's population is growing rapidly, and in places where water is being extracted from things like aquifers, like in Libya, there's a tendency to over-abstract. There's a lack of alternatives. It's not like they can get water from anywhere else. Desalination, taking seawater and taking the salt out, is often too expensive for poorer countries, and it simply doesn't rain enough to collect it in any other way. There's also that risk in Libya, that's that fear in Libya of conflict with neighbouring countries, and the Nubian sandstone aquifer that they draw their water out of goes across four different countries. And like every resource, you know, the quicker you are to it and the more you take out of it, the better for you. So there's that tendency to rush. And that's actually leading Libya to over-abstract from this aquifer. And they're saying that potentially in 100 or so years, this aquifer could run dry rather than maybe the 1,000 years it would have lasted if they'd have managed it carefully. The problem is with these aquifers is often they don't recharge quick enough. Water isn't going in. You know, it's a system. It has inputs and outputs. But if you're taking too much on the output side and there's not enough going on the input side, it's going to run dry. The other issues you can link in here, of course, are climate change. I mean, you could probably stick climate change in anything. And also, I would say irrigation. And that's, again, linked to overpopulation. The Libyan population are desperate to grow more and more crops for themselves in order to reduce dependency on imports of food. But they have to irrigate, they have to water their crops quite intensively. And that's leading them to take more and more water out of the ground, which ultimately is a factor that's affecting their water availability, certainly in the future. We can argue that that over-abstraction is unsustainable. It cannot last. Okay, so we just recap very briefly the different factors affecting water availability, the physical factors and the human factors. The emphasis here always is on keywords and examples. So what kind of questions could you expect to see in the exam? Now, my gut feeling on this is that the questions would be short and sharp, probably no more than 4 marks tops. And they're likely to use some kind of graphs or maps or some other data that you would then need to sort of interpret. So you're kind of thinking through some questions that might come up. Very simply, they might just say outline one physical factor affecting water availability, or they might say outline one human factor affecting water availability. That would be just 2 marks. I mean, they could even specify which factor. They could say outline why over-abstraction is a factor that affects water availability. Again, 2 marks. Slightly more complicated, a 4-mark question would be, they give you some kind of figure, some kind of data or text or a map, and they'd say, using that figure, explain why people in whichever place they're talking about in the world suffer from water insecurity. So what they're doing there is they're making you use a figure. You've got to take some data from that and then use that to then develop a point about how a factor affects water availability. They're also using keywords in their question, again, to test you. So, you know, water insecurity is a key word that you would need to know the definition of. So if you're unsure about what I mean when I say water insecurity, you need to go away and look that up. It's in the textbook. You can look at it in the glossary of the textbook. A bigger question still, and this would be rare, or I'd be surprised if it came up, but you never know, would be a 6-marker. Remember, you do not get 9-mark questions for resource management. So the 6-marker would be maybe something like, human factors are a greater cause of water insecurity than physical factors. Do you agree? Yes or no? And then justify your decision, okay? And in your answer, there's less of a need, because it's justify your decision, there's maybe less of a need to have a balanced argument, maybe more towards your yes or your no, whichever you decided, with possibly a nod towards the other side, okay? And there's no right answer there, so it can either be, yeah, I agree, human factors are a greater cause, or no, I disagree. So long as you justify it and put forward valid arguments, you'd be fine. So that's the one that I would like you to do. It's a bit more challenging. So I'll repeat it again. Human factors are a greater cause of water insecurity than physical factors. Do you agree, yes or no, and justify your decision? Okay, I hope that podcast was helpful. Keep going with your revision. 2 weeks to go. The effort, the time that you invest now will really pay dividends when you sit the exam. You will get extra marks as a result. That'll boost your grade. You'll have a better January as a result. You'll build confidence. We can talk positively and you can move towards the summer without that any sense of kind of panic, really. You're in control of it. Do the hard work. Happy to support you. If you need any help this week or week after, just come and see me. I'll see you guys next week. Thank you very much for listening. Bye.